Hey everyone, welcome to the 10th arc episode of Medusa's Cascade, Collateral Damage. I'm your friendly neighborhood DM, Tom, and I've got a few things to cover before we get into the speed run of the next 6 episodes of the campaign. First and foremost, thank you for sticking with us for the past 2 plus, almost 3 years now, and we hope that you're ready for what's to come. Second, if you can, please check out our social media accounts on most major platforms. Just search for the Medusa's Cascade on the platform and give us a follow. We have some cool stuff coming up, and it's definitely worth your time checking out. Lastly, if you're listening on a streaming platform, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please take a few minutes to rate, review, and subscribe. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it does help get the podcast out there for others to discover, and we would all appreciate the love and support. So now, without further ado, we will jump into arc number 10, New Faces. We'll see you on the other side. The journeyman makes introductions as the party meets two new adventurers that will be joining them. Tiger, or just Ty, a tabaxi like Zex and Kyver, but a thief and very standoffish. Salix Dendrin, or just Salix, a wood elf who is blessed by the Protector and has ties to the Daughter of the Void, one of the fabled Daughters of Creation. The group exchanges notes and information while making the way to see the legendary blacksmith Volseer up in Nindeloth. Sirius receives 2 rings that his goddess has sent him to get, and reveals that the rings will help him bring his wife back to the material plane. Sometime later, the group makes their way towards Terran Ridge to seek out the Nalakavi tribe of Goliaths that would hopefully give Galahad some answers as to who is killing his people. Eventually, they find themselves in what they believe to be the land of the Nalakavi, and the druidic members of the clan are trying to figure out how Galahad can be who he claims to be. Galahad's claims are so outlandish that the druids take him to the leader of the Nalakavi, Illichan. The leader takes the paladin's tale as the truth and offers his help to the group. Illichan gives Galahad troubling information that confirms what he's been suspecting about his mentor, Antonius. They are invited to stay for dinner and to rest there for the evening. A lot of heavy conversation occurs amongst the various members of the group. A few are met by Sirius's goddess, the Moonweaver. Shanks has a heartfelt conversation with Zex about dealing with the past and reconciling what his new reality is. The archer splits off to speak to Galahad after the moon ritual is complete to ask him about his thoughts on faith and his relationship to Bahamut. Meanwhile, Sex has a memory resurface that is deeply troubling. He relives his apparent death and resurrection. Later on, while the party rests, Ty has a dream with his former employer, the ringleader, who informs him that the constable will be seeing him soon. The paladin receives a vision from Bahamut. The platinum dragon gives him confirmation that Antonius is a follower of his sister. Antonius was his mentor by design, set on a path of vengeance by Galahad's father and his war with the elves of the Forest Bastion. He learns that he is going to be Bahamut's champion, but not quite yet. Galahad, and the rest of the party are pulled from their rest with a deafening roar of a dragon overhead. There is utter chaos in the village outside. As the party dons their armor, Shanks pokes his head out of the door. There is a commotion as bodies rush by the entrance of their hut in both directions. As he peers out, he can see that people are either running towards the forest or towards the ritual site. Setting down atop the back arch of monolithic stones is an adult black dragon with lightning crackling off its wings. Steadying itself and coming to rest as a knight clad in black plate, black helm, and with a black greatsword, all emblazoned with chromatic motifs, pushes forward Illican, who is passively complying.
Nalakavi! He screams. Descendants of giants! People cut from the mountains! You have been judged! And you have been found wanting. I give you but a single chance, as I did your kin, to save yourself from extermination. Where is the murderer that you hide from justice? Where is Dragomir? The coward has evaded me for long enough.
He is to the north, on the outskirts of Coldbring, Illican says calmly. He is forbidden to be anywhere else. He is forbidden to take part in any matters that consist of our people. Threatening us will get you nothing. Those were different times. It was war. We mourn for their souls.
That's where you're wrong, the knight growls. You drew the blood of elves to appease your anger. It's only right I draw your blood to appease mine. If you were truly sorry, you would not wear trophies of their dead, of my friend, of my wife!
He throws a necklace made of elf ears at the Goliath. The knight pulls the sword up over his head and with a loud cry brings it down on Illican. A chromatic burst of energy comes from the strike, utterly destroying the Goliath. There is a momentary hush as a collective gasp comes over the rest of the village. From the distance, a scream rings out. The dragon lets out a roar and releases a large, icy spray into the crowd, lightning leaping off of the shards of ice. The party races to help the Goliath get to safety, as well as to get themselves there too. The paladin heads toward the knight to confront his mentor, Antonius, about his vengeful path. Antonius tells him to face him when he is ready. He will only let Galahad go this one time. With the slaughtered Goliaths now becoming zombies that have begun to pursue the party tirelessly, Galahad hesitantly turns to protect his people, and a chase ensues. The sleep-deprived party can't seem to catch a break. They run, rest, fight, in no conceivable order, and repeat. Exhausted and growing desperate, they weigh their options out as they try to plan their next steps. The party, now rested after escaping the Horde with some heroics from Sirius, makes plans to head towards Sloane. They decide that they'll head around the mountains of Terran Ridge, avoiding Antonius, to one of the constable's machines out by Dragonborn Valley. However, the following day starts with Sirius gone, along with all of his possessions. Assuring themselves that he's safe and only doing what is needed for him and his goddess, they make their way. Zex and Galahad discuss their futures, their headspace, their plans, and what they should do with Kyver's lingering Orcus problem. As their watch comes to an end, they find that Kyver has left as well. And while not having anything to do with Orcus, the group is still concerned. They push through and hope that he will be safe and return to them. The next night is also filled with lots of tension and unease as the party begins their night watch shifts. Shanks and Argyle have a very heated conversation with Elrin after he shares some bombshell revelations with them about both of their mothers. All the while, a small pack of displacer beasts stealthily make their way to the occupied or sleeping party. They come out of their conversation to find a displacer beast heading straight for Salix. After a brief but intense encounter with some of these displacer beasts, the party rushes after Salix, and they find themselves gathering their things and rushing towards a portal to Sloane. Once there, they track them to a shack in a clearing of the woods. While the group investigates what transpired, the tavern appears outside. Feeling a bit relieved, the party heads inside and informs the journeyman of what happened. Glad comes down to greet the party and inform them of her conversation with her patron, the Protector, about the Daughters of Creation. She has a noticeable change to her appearance and recounts her visions to the party. Suddenly, a transformed and badly injured Salix appears in the tavern, insisting that they escape their captors and the captors who took them had ties to the Constable. The journeyman offers them rest and time to plan and regroup before heading back out to Sloane. They rest and make a 6-day trek towards the Grand Temple of the Daughters of Creation, somewhere in the shattered mountain range. Shanks and Argyle tell the party what Elrin has informed them, and there is some protest amongst their involvement. As the party enters a scrapyard of gargantuan metal warforged, the party is greeted by a powder blue female tiefling bard playing her lute. Three other figures appear, a female Asmar paladin, a male Luxodon cleric, and the constable, who informs them that he just wants Ty. Memories of their first introduction to Strahd, the night they lost Irina, flashes, and the group refuses to comply. Shanks takes the first shot and triggers a quick and intense volley, and before long, they are pincered. Put into an impossible position, Ty gives himself up, and in an instant, they disappear. This arc introduces some new characters, Ty and Salix, only to have one of them be taken almost immediately by the Constable. Feels like, at this point, that party can't catch a break, and they just might be right. Please check out, if you can, our social media accounts on most major platforms. Just search for the Medusa's Cascade on the platform and give us a follow. We have some cool stuff coming, and it's definitely worth your time to check out. Also, if you're listening on a streaming platform, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please take a few minutes to rate, review, and subscribe. Doesn't seem like a lot, but it does help get the podcast out there for others to discover, and we would all very much appreciate the love and support. We'll see you next week for the next episode, fingers crossed, of Across the Plains, and in 2 weeks for the 112th episode of the actual play. So, we'll see you then, and until then, safe travels.